Hey, amen. I love that music. It's so soothing. It's just right on time, just what I need. Hallelujah, glory to God. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God, hallelujah. And guess what? Jesus is Lord. And tonight we just want to talk about, you know, do you know the Jesus you're talking about? Do I really know this Jesus that I'm talking about? Do you really know this Jesus that you're talking about? So tonight that's what we want to discuss, because someone said very recently, who I had on the broadcast, they said a lot of people singing about a Jesus they don't even know, and they singing to make money and not really concerned about Jesus at all. But, you know, it's about the money, it's about the popularity, it's about the celebrity of it all, if you will. So we want to just talk about that tonight and ask the question, do you really know the Jesus you're talking about? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So without further ado, we're just going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come in and help us out tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is your servant Teresa, and I thank you for today. I thank you for another day. I thank you, and I bless you, oh God. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. I thank you for everything that you do for us, Lord God. Hallelujah. The things that we know about, the things that we don't know about. Oh God, I just thank you for it, Lord, because without you, where would we be? I don't even want to think about where I would be if I didn't have you on my side, Lord God, if I didn't have you in my life. But I thank you on tonight. And Father, I just pray tonight that as we get into this topic of do you know the Jesus you're talking about, that your Holy Spirit will just come in and just teach us and help us on tonight. Father, our intention is not to degrade anybody or make anybody feel bad, Lord, but our intention is to, for us to gain knowledge that we will get to know, not just head knowledge, Lord God, and not something that we just heard, but that we will really get to know who Jesus is. So, Father, I just want to say thank you right now. I want to bless your name. I want to give you praise and glory and honor. And thank you for it being done right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those who may be listening or those who may tune in to listen in the archives, oh God, that they will hear this word, oh God, those that are not saved, that they will come to know Jesus in the pardoning of their sins, that they will come to know him, Lord God, and come to trust him and come to love him and come to love you, God. I pray for them tonight in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those who have backslidden, those who are lukewarm, those who are confused and don't know what to do. I pray for them right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they will just come to you, Lord God, that we all would just fall in love with you, Lord, that we all would reexamine our relationship with you and just fall in love with you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, I know you can do that, and I thank you for it right now, God, in Jesus' name. I bless your name, Lord, and I thank you. Father, I just want to say I love you, Lord. I just want to say I love you and I thank you. I love you so much, God, because you're worthy, Lord God. You love me. You love this old me. And I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Father, and I bless your name. As we go into this broadcast, Lord God, heal. Ask you to heal bodies that are sick, Lord God, in the spirit and in the natural, Father, in Jesus' name. Those, Lord God, who are dealing with problems, Lord God, in their lives, in their marriage, Lord God, whatever it is, oh God, that you will heal tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that we will hear this instruction on tonight, Lord God, and not just hear it, but be doers of your word in Jesus' name. And Father, I say thank you and give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah. I just want to say that it's important that we get to know Jesus. And I'd like to say good evening to everybody in the chat room on tonight. My sister, hi, sister, I love you. Marilyn, hey, Marilyn, long time no see. Pastor Felicia, glory to God, bless you, sweetie pie. And guest 2000, welcome tonight to Blog Talk Radio. If you'd like to speak to the host, or if you have a question or a comment, would you please dial 323-693-3054. Again, that's 323-693-3054. And call in and just, if you want to talk, if you have anything the Lord has laid on your heart, just come on and call, and we'll be more than happy for you to get on the broadcast with us. Amen. And ever since I had that person on my broadcast and we were talking and they said that thing to me, they said, people out here singing about a Jesus they don't even know. And that thing has stuck in my spirit so hard. And I wanted to talk about that tonight, that there are people that are really preaching the gospel, or preaching, I should say, and don't even really know who Jesus is. Well, how can you say that, Teresa? Why would you even dare say something like that? Because we can tell by the lifestyle. Just like if I was living any old kind of way and I was doing things that was contrary to God and I'm doing Blog Talk Radio, you would say, well, how can you say that you really love Jesus, but you're still doing all of those things that you do? Do you really know who Jesus is? Do you really know what he did for you on the cross? Do you really understand the sacrifice that he made? Do you really know? And I think a lot of us know about Jesus because we've heard about him. But do we really know him? Do we really, really, really know him? And I was reading today in John, the book of John, I believe it was chapter 14, and I was reading today, and Jesus was talking to me. He was talking to me about the Comforter. He was talking, you know, we talk about Jesus, we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about God, but do we really know either of them? Do we really know them? And I tell you, I sat there, and that, when I read it now, mind you, I read this over and over again, okay? But when I read it today, I was awestruck when I read the word today. I was just sitting there, and I was, if anybody would have walked in the office today and seen me, they were like, they would have been like, what's wrong with her? Because the look I had on my face was like, wow, amazing. It was just amazing to me, and I had read this before, but today it just struck me, and I'm going to read to you what I read. And it was starting in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and it says, starting at verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. Let me see if these pages are sticking together. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Now, I read this many, many, many times before, and I read it today, and it just, I don't know, it just struck me. I don't know what happened, but it just struck me so different today when I read that. And it fits with this thing. Do we really know Jesus? He said, if you know me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, this is how we know that we really know him and love him. Do we obey him? Do we obey the things that Jesus has instructed us? Do we obey him? Do we do the simplest things that he tells us to do, such as love your neighbor as yourself? Do we even do that? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I can't love my neighbor because my neighbor this and my neighbor that. And No. Jesus didn't say have stipulations to loving your neighbor. He said love your neighbor as yourself. You can't even love God. We can't even really love God if you turn to 1 John chapter 5. If you read 1 John and you read what Jesus says, well, what the writer says there, how can you love God whom you haven't even seen? How can you say you love him and you haven't even seen him? When you got people right here on earth in your face, you can't even love them. How can you love God? And some of us don't want to know God. We just want to know about him. We want to know of him. We want to say enough to sound like we know him. We want to say enough to sound like we're Christians. We want to say enough to sound like we're holy. We want to say enough to sound like, you know, yeah, I'm really in Jesus. But see, God knows what's in our heart. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what's lurking inside of our hearts. And if there's something inside of our hearts that's keeping us from really knowing who Jesus is, because how can we obey him if we don't really know him? We don't want to obey him just because the pastor got up there and said X, Y, Z. We want to obey him because we love him. But we can't love him if we don't know him. How do we get to know who Jesus is so that we can love him? We got to get in the word. God bless you, Michelle Bless. God bless you, 4259. We gotta get in the word. We got to get in the word. We got to pray. We got to seek God. We got to really, really just deny ourselves and just really get into a relationship with him. And, excuse me, and 4259 says, most preachers today complicate things. And me being a preacher, I know that for a fact that I'm not going to say we, because I try to make it as simple as it is. I try to make it as simple as possible. Look, love God. Love God. Fall in love with God. Fall in love with him. Talk to him. Get a relationship with him. I mean, come on. All this form and fashion and all this other stuff that we try to make it so hard. Oh, you got to get on your knees. You got to say, thus thou and oh, beloved God. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, oh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah. Ain't got to do all of that. Ain't got to do all of that. Father, in the name of Jesus, here I am. I want to know you. I want to know you better. I want to know you. I don't want to just know about you, but I want to know you. Help me to know you. Help me to know you like David. David communed with God. He talked with God. He communed with him. That's how David was able to write so many psalms and just talk about the goodness of God. Not just because God delivered him from battles, okay, but he just had a communion with God. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. If you go back in the Old Testament and look at the way the people fellowship with God, see, even in the New Testament, look in the New Testament in the book of Acts how the people prayed and had a relationship with God. That's how come Paul was able to write so much of the New Testament, because he had a relationship with God. He knew God and God knew him. There's so many people walking around just faking the funk. They're just walking around just in a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. oh, because I go to church, I'm cool, I'm good with God. If that's not necessarily true, do you know God? If he spoke to you right now, would you know his voice right now? And if you do know his voice, do you obey his voice? Do we just shun him and just push that voice to the side? Oh, I think God said this. I'm not sure, but I think God said. There's many people walking around saying God said this and Jesus said this, and they didn't say none of that. But see, if we know him and we know his characteristics and we get discernment, we can discern whether God said this or God said that. There's a spirit of error. This is another reason why we need to get to know God, because there's a spirit of error in the land, and people are teaching heresy. People are teaching things that are not of God at all, something they made up or something they heard somebody else say, and they put it together and made it to be something that God never intended it to be. But if you don't know God, if you don't even know enough of his word to know the difference, you will be sucked in by the heresy, and then you'll be looking around, and then you'll be got lost. And then when the trumpet sound and Jesus cracked the sky, you can't even go back with him, because now you're somewhere with a reprobate mind, somewhere messed up, believing good is evil and evil is good. Why? Because we don't know him. How can we know him and then allow somebody to come in with a heresy and lead us astray? That's why we got to get to know him, because there's going to come a day and time that if we're here, if we happen to be here, which I pray God I don't be here after the rapture. I don't want to be here after the rapture, because if we can't live for God right now, I don't even know how would they be able to live for God in the rapture, after the rapture. I don't know. But what I am saying is this, that we got to get to know God. Please, if you want to have anything to say about this conversation, please dial 323-693-3054. Because this topic is so important that we need to know who God is. It's okay to preach. It's okay to teach. It's okay to sing about Jesus. It's okay to do all of those things, but do we really know who he is? Do we really? Some people only know him when it's time for them to get healed. Some people only know him when they need some money. And that's not even really knowing him. That's knowing about what he can do in that situation, but not really just laying on your bed and communing with God. Not just laying on your bed welcoming the Holy Spirit to come into your life and lead you and teach you, just like we read in John 14, and be your comforter. No, we look for every other thing. Some of us, we love our television so much that we just can't go a day without our television. Now, that's love right there. We just love that television. And I can hear somebody saying, oh, I don't love my television. Yeah, you do. You give it first place in your life. If it's not you, let it fly by you. It might not be the television. It might be somebody. It might be something. Okay? But we got to fall in love with God. How can we serve him and worship him forever in heaven and don't even know him? We don't even know him. It's enough to say, oh, Jesus died on the cross, or Jesus was born in a manger on Christmas. You know, and do all this stuff around Christmas, and then Easter, oh, he arose from the grave. But I'd be willing to bet that if you went out and took a survey and you asked people, who is Jesus for real? Who is he to you? What would your answer be? What would your answer be if I asked you right now, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? I don't want to hear the storybook version of what you know about Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? You can call right now, 323-693-3054. Who is Jesus to you? You don't have to call. You can just answer the question. Who is Jesus? Is he your genie in the bottle? Only need him when you need him? Only want to talk to him when you need something? Or is he somebody you just can't imagine living without since you've been born again? Is Jesus, does he mean that much to you that now you can't imagine living without him? Is you can't imagine what your life would be without him? I don't know why I don't see Pastor Felicia's number on the phone line right about now. Pastor, I mean, Michelle says, I know I won't be here during the rapture. And Force 259 says, there's a lot of heresies. Heresies, living for Jesus. Can y'all call in? I just want to talk to somebody because I want to know. Do we really love Jesus? And if you love Jesus, hey, more power to you. I'm happy for you. But I think that we still need to fall more in love with him. Fall more in love with him. I know my husband met, we didn't like each other, and we finally fell in love. It was like we just didn't want to be apart from each other. Then you get in a relationship, and you've been in a relationship as long as we've been. Now we got to figure out ways to fall in love again. Not that we don't love each other, but, you know, we got to do this date thing. We got to, you know, because now we become complacent with one another. We love one another, but now we just, you know, he got the wife, I got the husband. Hey, it is what it is. We've been married for 13 years. Okay? And that's how we treat God. That's how we treat Jesus. That's how we treat the Holy Spirit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got you. I got saved. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm good. Now we need to renew our relationship with him. We need to renew our relationship with him. Jesus, I just want to talk to you. I just want to love you. I just want to show you that I appreciate you because what you've done for me, I just want to just show you. I'm not even coming to you asking you for anything. I just want to tell you that I love you. I just want to tell you that I thank you and I appreciate you. Don't you know that he would appreciate that if we said that to him? Father, I just love you. I just appreciate you. Like, you have just been so good to me. I just want to tell you, thank you. Area code 513, 485, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, this is Evangelist Michelle Bless. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am wonderfully blessed, and I am happy to hear you talk about Jesus.
Amen.
I got to call in to tell you about the Jesus that I know. I don't know about nobody else, sister. I'm just going to tell you about my relationship with Jesus. For one, I can't even breathe without him. I wake up in the morning with a song on my tongue. In my voice, I wake up in the morning praising him. I praise him in the morning, I praise him in the afternoon, I praise him in the evening, and I praise him at night. I don't need an alarm clock to do that. It automatically happens. Because
Amen.
If you knew where he brought me from, you would understand why I have the relationship that I have with Jesus. I devour and marinate his word. I live his word. I breathe his word. I'm not just a seer or a sayer of his word. I am a doer of his word. Because when I was brought here on this earth, I was taught that I was nothing by man. I was told that I was nothing by man. I'm speaking of mankind. I was abused, I was thrown away, I was spit on, I was an outcast. And that's what I felt like and lived for 40-something years. I didn't believe nobody could, I thought I was unlovable, I felt unlovable. I never felt love nor experienced love in 40-something years until I met Jesus. And for the first time, he gave me peace, unspeakable peace. Joy, unspeakable joy, and love. He holds me when I cry, and he wipes my tears.
Mm-hmm.
He listens to me when I need somebody to talk to. And he's a father to me when he talks to me, and disciplines me when necessary.
Yeah.
He's a God that went and left heaven, left royalty to come to this earth. To walk this earth for 3 years and talk to the misfits and the throwaways and the outcasts. And then he did the most unspeakable thing that we look at, that people that, when I say unspeakable, I'm talking about people human wouldn't do, but yet he did. He died on the cross for me. He shed his blood for me. I'm talking about a God that when I got spit at from humans and when I was told that I was nothing, he said to me that I am somebody. When I first got saved 14 years ago, and he told me to go to the book of John, and I believe it's either John 15, verse 16, or either John 16, verse 15, but it says something like, you didn't choose me.
Right.
I chose you.
Mm-hmm.
When I read that verse, I cried out and screamed. And he told me to put the name Michelle in front of it and say it again to him. And I said, he said, Michelle, you did not choose me. I chose you. Mm. That was profound to me. Because mind you, 14 years ago, wouldn't nobody walk the same sidewalk that I stood. Doors were shut in my face. When I was hungry, nobody fed me. When I was naked, nobody clothed me. And when I was homeless, I'm getting choked up. When I was homeless, no one gave me a place to live. But then I met Jesus. And he told me if I give him the opportunity for him to show himself of who he is to me, and for to show me love, that I will never look back. And I gave that opportunity to this man named Jesus years ago. And he put me in the furnace to renewed, restore, and refine me.
Mm.
And I went through 7 years of this furnace. I was in the college called Jesus 101. And he took the pain away. Did no man do that?
Right. Amen.
Did no man feed me? Did no man clothe me?
Jesus.
But when he did all that for me, and once I start trusting people, because God said that he has people that are his servants, that when they love on me, they are loving on me through him.
Mm.
I sit and I be in peace and I talk to Jesus. Sometimes when I come to him on some days, I mean, I'm with him every day, but I'm saying every day, it'd be some days I don't even talk. I just come and just be in his presence. And I ask him to come and be in mine. I love Jesus because he loves me.
Hallelujah.
I have an intimate relationship with Jesus. God said he's a jealous God. He said, put no man, no woman, no child, no image before him.
Yes.
I don't put nothing before Jesus. Nothing. I don't care about finances or material things. Because I have been rich and I have been poor and I have been rich. But my drawers overflow because I don't concern myself with the cares of the world or anything. I am here to serve Jesus. But I put him first, and then I go do his work. And that is to be available to help another human being.
Yes.
We got so many wannabe Christians. We got so many religious Christians. And I'm not saying all, if the shoe fit, wear it, but I'm going to tell the truth. See, because not only have I been persecuted outside in the world, I've been persecuted in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't for me staying close to Jesus and having a relationship with him, I would have stumbled and fell.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God said, know him for yourself. God would talk to you through his word.
He sure will.
He would. I mean, oh God, he would talk to you through his words. The words will leap off the pages. And he would talk to you through his words. So sometimes I hear people, when I say sometimes, I'm talking about some people. You know, they say, I know Jesus. Yeah, okay. But don't talk that through your mouth. It's the action. I had one lady come up to me and say, I'm a servant of Jesus. I'm a Christian. I said, you know what? You ain't got to walk around and say that, because if God is really in you, people will see Jesus in you.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to walk around and say, I don't walk around and say, hi, I'm a Christian. No, you're going to see, you're going to know something, because we are different than the world.
Mm-hmm. Supposed to be.
We are different than the world. You know what I'm talking about, Evangelist Teresa.
Ooh, Jesus.
I'm going to use you as an example. And I'm going to let the whole world that's listening to us right now in the chat room hear this. Spirit recognize spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If God is in you, you know when God is in somebody else.
Yeah.
You ain't got to say, oh, let me pray and sit. No, you'll know if Jesus is in somebody else. I never met Evangelist Teresa in person. But if you listen to our conversation on the phone or sometimes through the chat, you would think we've been knowing each other for years. When I met this woman through the phone, she was doing God's work, and she had me on hold, but she didn't know I can hear what she was doing. And she was ministering, and I'm going to tell it, she was ministering to a woman who was in need, who was hungry. And Sister Teresa took what she had and then told her to come back, because she was going to go to the bank and give what she had left, because the woman was hungry. I ain't even questioned it. I just said, let me wire you some money for that lady, just like that.
Oh, it did.
Because God's gonna have two lines at the end of this time. We're talking about in the Book of Revelation. It's gonna be two. It's gonna be the one on the left.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm saying it right. If I ain't, you know what I'm talking about. What I'm getting ready to say. There's gonna be a left and a right.
Mm-hmm.
So go with me here. The left is when the angel's gonna put your robes on, and very well done, servant. Very well done. Go on in. But the other line going to try to go in, and the angel going to point to the lake of fire, and they're going to scream afar. I'm giving you an image, I want you to see this image here of these are religious people. These are the ones that say, what Jesus, I paid my tithes. I went to church. Now, and you know what Jesus is going to say? Yeah, but when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was sick in the hospital, you didn't even come and see me. When I was naked, you didn't even clothe me. And when you did, you gave me some holy looking, wore out outfit.
My.
Dug up out of the back of a closet somewhere. I'm preaching now, and they're gonna be like, Jesus, when did I ever turn you down?
When
Michelle asked you. Or when Michelle told you she was hungry, and you say, oh, I'll pray for you, I'll keep you in prayer, instead of you going in your pocket to feed her. See, God is looking for doers. He's looking for vessels that he can use.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for willing vessels.
Mm-hmm.
God is not going to make no one love him, and God is not going to make no one serve him. You got to willingly want to do that, because there is a spiritual warfare going on right now between Satan and God. Because the devil, he already know his end. The devil know the lake of fire is his end. Devil don't sleep. Don't you know that his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy? He is trying to bring and take as many souls as he can to hell with him, because he know his eternity is darkness. So, you know, people today, that's why God, it's very important, like Evangelist Teresa said, you got to know God for yourself, and you can't be sometime. Don't you know it's a sin if you don't read the Bible every day? And people say, that is not so. I said, poor thing, I'm going to pray for you. Yes, it is. Because let me tell you something. When you wake up in the morning, before you go out that door, you need to feed your spirit. spirit, in your soul, the word of God. Because if you don't, your spirit man and your soul man is going to be fed the cares of the world. Little simple things that people say or don't look at it, that they don't look at it as being demonic, or they don't look at it as being from the devil, but guess what? It is. And a simple little thing can take you straight to hell.
Hmm.
I didn't mean to take over the mic, Evangelist Teresa, but I was in the chat room and I kept hearing you say, somebody call in so I could talk to them. Praise the Lord.
That's right, but you know what? The scripture in Matthew chapter 25 talks about the judgment. And I just want to read that because sometimes people don't believe what they hear, don't believe it's really in the Bible. But I just want to read chapter 25, starting at verse 31. And it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also, now he was talking to the people on the right, he said, but then shall he say also to them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, and a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So is it everlasting punishment, and is it eternal life? There's going to be those on the right hand, and there's going to be those on the left hand. Okay?
That's right.
And the point of the story is, just do what God says. Just obey him. Just whatever he says. Somebody on the street hungry, don't walk past them, because that could be you one day. Michelle been on the street. She been hungry. She had to eat out of trash cans, hiding behind restaurants, waiting for them to throw their food out so she could eat, because people wouldn't help her. My husband and I, when we were all but homeless, we were in a hotel. A man in a wheelchair. Nobody would help us. A man in a wheelchair. And they put us out. I don't care where you go. We don't care what you do. Oh, let me check the records to see if you pay tithes, and then we'll decide whether we can help you. Huh?
My God.
Huh? Is that
my
loving
God?
Don't tell me that you love God if you got to check your records to see if somebody paid tithes before you help them. Don't tell me
that's
that
right.
You love God, that you can't help your brother and your sister when you go home and your refrigerator and your cabinets are full. Don't tell me that you can't give
somebody a dollar when you got $35 in your pocket and you know you finna go sit down at McDonald's and eat you more than you even supposed to eat.
Mm.
And you walk past the person and they sitting on the corner, but you judging them, talking about, well, they look like they got on clean clothes or they got sneakers that look nice. They need to get up and work their own selves. How you know that's not Jesus sitting right there? And you walk
what
past.
What are you preaching now?
He said, if you do it, the whatever, whichever way you do it, you help them or you don't, you're doing it to me. So how can we say that we really love God and we really know him? We can't even follow the simple things that he wants us to do.
You know what I heard of Evangelist Teresa one time from a woman of God, you know, because she said, well, you know, I've been in church for 20-something years, so I have more experience than you. And I was listening to her, like, I was like, okay, to myself. She was, because what happened was we were coming out of an event, and there was a person who was sitting in front with a tin can, and I went to the person and took their hand, said a few words, and then I went in my wallet and gave them some money. And then she gonna grab me and say, come here for a minute. She said, why did you do that? I said, excuse me? I said, they in need. She said, listen, people, you gotta be careful who you give your money to, because some of these people can be conning you. They could be going to go get a drink or whatever. I ain't got nothing to do with what they're doing, what they do with it. God don't see that. God's going to look at me whether or not I'm going to be a giver. You follow what I'm saying, Evangelist Teresa?
Well, I sure do.
I'm just saying, some people, you got to be mindful. They might not go use that money for no food. They might go use that money for something else. So what? That is not for me to judge whether they go use it for something else. God wants to see, am I going to be obedient to hear him when he say, go give.
Yes.
Go give. So, mm-hmm. And so I told her, I said, and I said it in a loving way, you do you if you choose not to. But she was like, well, that's why I didn't go in my pocket. And that's why you're missing out on your blessing. And that's what I told her. And then she said to me, oh, so what are you saying? I'm not blessed? No, I didn't say that. You're blessed. But don't you realize doing that can stop you? Some people don't realize that you can plug up your own blessings or you can delay your blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't you know it doesn't even always have to be about finances? You can give encouragement to a person out there, love. You could say good morning or good afternoon or good evening. Or you can just smile at someone and you have no idea what that smile would do for a person that is lost. I know what I'm talking about because I was out there.
Mm-hmm.
I slept on park benches, abandoned buildings under bridges.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody reached out for me. But Jesus, my first relationship of love is Jesus. I've been serving him for 14 years, and I'm still on fire from the first day I met him, because I never met anyone like him.
Because
nobody ever take me away from him. And I would never denounce. I would never denounce him. Never. Because if I don't know nothing else, I know one thing. I know Jesus loved me, and the second thing I know is that he would never leave nor forsake me. That's in his word.
He won't leave you.
So just take the time, sisters and brothers who are listening out there. All you got to do is take the time every day to talk to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. He'll talk to you. You'll start seeing doors open. I mean, when I left the kind of life that I lived, God started putting people in my life, different doors started opening for me. You know, and I'm like, well, why is all this happening? God will open up doors that was never open for you. And he will put things in place for you. People that are out there lost, they don't realize this, but they are soldiers in God's holy army. They just don't realize it yet. That's why the devil's trying to take them out and to keep them to stay lost. They don't want them to know the truth. But like it says in his word, told to tell the truth now because the truth will set you free. I didn't understand the Bible when I first read it, but I asked God to help me to understand it, and he did. God's word will speak to you. So I'm not going to take over this mic any longer because I do got to go do some ministry, but I want to say one thing for the ones who don't really read the Bible a lot or maybe they don't really understand it. I'm going to put this out there to read two different scriptures. They're in the book of Psalms. Psalm 23 and Psalm 91. For anyone who had backslide, for anyone who don't even know Jesus that well, even for the ones who sometimes put Jesus first, read Psalms 23 and Psalm 91 for the next 60 days. If you read it every day in the morning when you wake up and every night before you go to sleep for the next 60 days and don't miss, I guarantee that God's going to give you a blessing that you have never experienced in your life. And you'll call back to Evangelist Teresa and you'll say, Evangelist Teresa, Evangelist Michelle said that and it happened. I'm a living witness. God is not a liar. And his word cannot come back void. But you have to give him an opportunity. Okay, someone told me to repeat that. Read Psalms 23 and read Psalms 91 for the next 60 days. Read it faithfully when you first wake up in the morning and read it before you go to sleep at night. And when you wake up in the morning and you, first thing you do before you even open those two scriptures is say good morning to Jesus and thank him for waking you up. And then open your Bible to Psalm 23, open it to the next Psalm 91 and read it. And then give thanks to the Lord again and then say, God, I'm right here in your presence. I surrender to you, Lord. I'm here. And just do that. And if you and I'm going to tell you, you need to know this because the devil is going to say, he ain't talking to you or you might not hear nothing. The devil's a liar and he's a father of lies. Just do what I just said. Read those two scriptures. Be available for the Lord in the morning and at night. Put him first, and God's going to bring a blessing. God will show you who he is. And he will help you. He will give you a blessing. This is the season of open window in heaven. And God is giving to his people. But he's definitely given to the lost souls. And he wants you to come back. See, the devil going to tell you, you know, you ain't been talking to God or you ain't been reading the Bible right or you did this. You know, you can't go back to God. He's a liar. It's never too late. Remember this. Every day you wake up and breathe is an opportunity for you to ask God to come into your life. Don't wait until it's too late. Meaning when you're gone, it's now. It's never too late. It's never too late. Paul was a murderer, and he wrote half of the New Testament. Can I get an amen, Evangelist Teresa?
Amen.
But yet he was one of the greatest of all disciples.
Yeah.
He was a murderer. If you go and dissect the Bible, you will see different people. They were, oh, my God. Like, for example, let's talk about some of the people in the Bible real quick.
Wait a minute, Michelle. I got to answer this question.
Okay, go ahead. What's the question?
I'm waiting for him to answer. He said something sounds like superstition. I don't know. Paul was never did it to murder anyone. That's a little stretching.
What? That's a little, okay, let me answer that. Okay, Paul was a murderer. I'm not going to take that back. Paul murdered Christians in the Bible.
Yes, he
when
did.
When he was Saul.
He was
that's
murdered.
In the Bible, the New Testament.
Yep, his name was Saul.
His name was Saul. The reason why I brought Paul up is because nobody is exempt. God, people think that people that did the most hideous crimes or sins, think they're not usable. Like me, I thought I was nothing. People told me I was nothing. God comes for people like you or people like me. Paul, when his name was Saul, he was a murderer. He murdered Christians. He went to go Christians and had them killed. Now, he might not have put his hand directly on a stone to kill him, but he ordered the death of Christians. That is in the Bible. That is in the Bible.
Why would you say, why are you saying that Saul never murdered anybody?
I don't understand that person saying that but that's okay. I'll keep, because right now I'm going to pray for the Lord to remove the scales from your eyes when you go back into the New Testament and read it in the Bible. Because when Paul was Saul, and you keep saying not so nowhere in the Bible, Paul is accused. Well, of course, Paul wasn't accused when his name, when he was named, when his name was changed.
That's okay? Right, not Paul, but Saul.
I'm talking about when he was Saul.
I'm going to leave it alone. Let me explain this to you.
Go to Damascus. He was on his way to do some damage. Come on now.
Oh, but even before that, it's clear. Paul was there when Stephen was stoned. He held the cloak
of
everyone that stoned Stephen.
He told them to pick up the stone and stone Stephen. Yes, he did. He gave the order. He gave the order to kill Stephen. It's like he gave the order to have many Christians beheaded, hung, chopped up. Come on now. That's in the Bible.
Let's get it clear now. Paul did not order the execution of Stephen, but Paul was there to assist in that by holding the cloak and egging them on. That's in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen is stoned. Then he goes on, after he did that, he goes on in chapter 8, and it talks about how Stephen was stoned, and he went on, and he continued with the persecution of the church. He did that by going into homes of Christians, dragging them out, both men and women. I'm reading chapter 8 now. See, this is the word of God. So you can say, we can say it's in the Bible, but I'm telling you where it's located. Look in the book, chapter 7, chapter 8 of the book of Acts. There you will see what Saul did to the Christians. He helped them drag them out, verse 58. They, meaning him, dragged him out, Stephen, out of the city and began to stone him. The official witnesses took off their coats and laid it at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, and we know the rest of that. Chapter 8, Saul was one of the official witnesses of the killing of Stephen. Chapter 1, verse 1, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles fled into Judea and Samaria. Some godly men came and buried Stephen with loud weeping. Saul was going everywhere to devastate the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women, throwing them in the jail, and having them killed. This is Saul.
Right.
This is, we're talking about Saul. This is in chapter 7 and chapter 8. This is clear what Saul's position was concerning the Christians. Then we go to chapter 9, where he has his Damascus Road experience. But before he has his Damascus Road experience, in verse 1 it says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. He was eager to destroy the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way, which was the early word for Christian. He found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Once again, to kill them.
Okay, that's all I was saying. But
chapter 9 of the book of Acts, and you'll see what Saul did before his conversion experience on the Damascus Road. He went to Damascus. He was on his way to Damascus to totally destroy that church and every believer in it. Then he met Jesus along the way. And then we know the story how his name was changed from Saul to Paul.
You are absolutely correct. And I was referring when Paul was Saul. I'm not saying when he was Paul that he did this. I was saying before his name was changed to Paul, when he was Saul, he did those things. That's all I'm saying. So if I said it was Paul, then I will correct that. I was not referring to when he was Paul, when he became new, when his name was changed.
Let me explain that you were not wrong there. Paul is the Roman name for Saul. Paul was not only just a Jew, he was a Roman citizen. And when he became a Christian, he took his Roman name of Paul just to distinguish himself from the Saul that he was when he persecuted the church. So Paul was always his name. It was his name in Roman.
Right. Well, yeah.
Paul was the Jewish name. Paul was his Roman name. When he was converted, he dropped the Saul because of the stigma of Saul in the minds of the Christians and adopted his Roman name, which was always his name in Rome. His father was a Roman citizen, which made him a Roman citizen. That's why they couldn't kill him when they wanted to kill him, because the Jews couldn't touch him because he was a Roman citizen. That's why they kept on sending him to Roman authorities when they wanted to persecute him, because they didn't have the authority themselves to persecute a Roman citizen. Not the Jews, but they were already captive. The Romans were their captors. So Paul, being a Roman, as well as a Jew, they couldn't do nothing with Paul.
You're
not even wrong there. Paul is Saul's name both times.
Exactly.
He just always adopted the Jewish name. When he became converted, he took his Roman name of Paul.
Right. Well, I'm going to keep me in prayer and keep everybody else in prayer. I'm not making this a thing of issue, because you know what? We all serve, at least I'm assuming we all serve in the same God, and that is Jesus. Okay? Everybody's not perfect. Lord knows I know I'm not perfect. I try not to get into controversy, you know, so if I say anything that someone didn't like, you know, I apologize for that. I'm always the first to say I apologize, you know, but like I said, I wasn't referring to Paul when he was Paul. Once he took the name of Paul, I was speaking when he was Saul, you know, the things that he did when he persecuted the church. And that's that. So anyway, I have to go. Advance is Teresa. But thank you for allowing me to share a little bit, and I will get back to you when I can.
Amen, amen. And I also wanted to address one more thing. He said, he was saying that, I don't see it now, but he said something about repeating the scriptures over and over again sounds like, what did you say, Patriot Greg? I can't see it because it won't let me go back into the...
I can see it. I can see what he's saying. He's saying so much. Like, guilty by association is not murder, blah, blah, blah.
So
you know what?
Part.
It's the same as the person say, it's sort of a little white lie, but it's not a lie. Wrong. Persecution is just the same as if you murder somebody. A sin is a sin. There is no difference.
Let me tell you something about the law. If you're an accomplice to a murder, I don't have to murder you. But if I'm standing there while you're murdering, you can arrest me too and charge me with murder. I'm an accomplice to murder. I'm an accomplice. I didn't shoot you. I was there and handed you the gun. Now, I didn't shoot the gun.
Handed
you the gun. That's the law. That's the law. I'm not even about Bible there. That's the law.
And they were stoning Stephen. It was as if he had a stone and stone him himself. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
When he went and dragged Christians out of homes and stuff. This is when he was Saul. That's all I'm saying.
mean, it's the law. The law tells you.
So
if I'm standing beside you,
you
and I see you shoot somebody and I don't report it and I'm there handing you the bullets, I'm just as guilty as you. We both go to prison.
That's right.
We both
That's
go
right.
to prison. And not just you, I go to prison too. That's the law. That's in the Bible. That's the law of the land, of everybody's land. Roman times, our times. Stand up there right now in Philadelphia in 2012 and you watch somebody shoot somebody and you hand them the gun. And they shoot. Now, you didn't shoot them, but you're an accomplice to the crime. You, too, will be charged, as well as the person who actually did it.
I'm going to go ahead and get out of the chat room because the Patriot Greg is still obviously not getting it because he's saying that, you know, I accused Paul / Saul of being a murderer, and that is false. But you're wrong. Saul was a murderer. I'm sorry. That's in the Bible. And Paul, when his name was changed to Paul, you know, God had forgave him and God used him to do many great things. He was one of the murderers.
How about Moses? Wasn't he a murderer? How about
Paul? In the Bible.
Aren't we murderers when we talk about people? We're murderers when we talk about people. No, you didn't actually put a knife in somebody's back or a gun to their head, but you're a murderer because you're talking about people. That's what Jesus said.
Right.
But let's be real. Moses was the greatest hero of all of the Bible and the Old Testament. Every Jew, every Muslim recognizes who Moses is and reveres him.
Jesus.
Murderer.
Killed
the Egyptian soldier.
He didn't name him.
He's
still saying the same thing. I'm not getting ready to get into a debate. You believe
me? But
listen,
I mean, there's not in the faith. Bible.
And we're just going to leave it alone. And I love everybody and hope everybody loves me.
God bless you. We're going to leave this alone because we do have another question.
Yeah, I'm
going to
leave this alone because it's not going anywhere. It's getting worse, and I'm not trying to get into that. So
I'm
going
to go to
the right now. For where I live, so keep me in prayer, and I will give you a call tomorrow, okay?
All right, and we have somebody on the line. I believe that's my sister. Area code 215-259. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
What's going on?
Just looking at what the person is saying. Hello. Just, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know how to get on the thing.
Girl, but it's Patriot Greg is just saying some things about murder is the taking of a life. Paul never took anyone's life. But like I just said, if you talk about somebody and you character assassinate somebody, you committing murder. That's what Jesus said.
If you're there, you're part of it.
Yes, and we're going to get back to it because this is a straight distraction.
Move.
To try to get us from what we're supposed to be talking about tonight. And the word of God is clear. Paul did what he did. He was a murderer. Paul led people to be slaughtered. He led people to be put in jail. He did all kinds of things to persecute God's people. So, yes, people are accused of murder by being there, but that's another broadcast, Patriot Greg. So you know you can just move on, okay? We were talking about loving Jesus, loving God. That's what we're talking about, okay? And that's what we want to continue to talk about, okay? We have a person on the phone who is a young Christian, and we're not here to argue about semantics, okay? We're not going to argue about semantics. If it's something that you don't understand, go and pray about it, okay? Just go pray about it. And if you think we're wrong, then you pray for us. And we think you're wrong, we'll pray for you, okay? The truth of the matter is that we all need to love God. We need to fall in love with him, and that's the bottom line. Obey God and keep his commandments. That's the bottom line. Obey God and keep his commandments. We're not going to sit here and argue over the word of God. The word of God is what it is. The word of God is what it is. And Patriot Greg, you're welcome. You're welcome to stay in the chat room, but you're not welcome to continue making comments, okay, of that nature. Now I'm going to ask you to stop. If you can't stop, then excuse me. That's what I'm going to say. Okay, we are speaking the truth, and again, you're more than welcome to leave if you think that we're not. All right, we were talking about the love of God and people learning to love God, okay? What Paul did when he was doing all of that, persecuting the church, he did not love God. He didn't even know who God was, okay? He knew his voice because he said he spoke to the Lord. He spoke to the Lord on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to do some more damage to the body of Christ, okay? When we do damage to the body of Christ, we're not loving God. When we do damage to one another, we're not loving God. And all God wants us to do is love him. That's all. He wants us to love him. It's not deep. You don't need a degree to understand that. All God wants us to do is to love him. That's it. That's it. Okay? Love him. We can agree to disagree. We can agree to, I don't like what you said and you don't like what I said. We can do that. But tonight we want to talk about loving God. Okay? Do we really love God? That's my question. That was my question from the beginning. Do we love God? Okay? Do we love God? That's the bottom line. And if we don't love God, then we need to get to know God and get to love him. The Bible tells us the conclusion of the whole matter is this, to obey God and keep his commandments. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Obey God and keep his commandments. Okay? I have a sister on the line. She's my blood sister. And she's trying to learn more about the Lord. Okay? She's trying to learn more about the Lord. And we're trying to teach her about loving God. And we're trying to come up in loving God. Okay? We have to make sure that no matter what we do, that we're in a love relationship with God, that we know who he is. See, we can get into debates about the word of God and do all these different things like that. We can all do that. But the bottom line is that we need to know God and really know him. Okay? Really, really know him. That's what it's about. And what I'm going to do right now is ask y'all to stop commenting. Just stop commenting because this is a real, real distraction. Just stop commenting. The woman apologized for what she said. Now let's keep it moving. Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? People talking about Jesus, people saying they know Jesus, people preaching about Jesus, people singing about Jesus, but don't really know who Jesus is. Walking around having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And if we do say that we know Jesus and we know God, then we ought to act like we do by obeying him. It's not hard. We do what we want to do. We do what we want to do when we want to do it. Why is it so hard for us to fall in love with God? when all he did was give us, all he did was give us, he gave us his son, Jesus. He gave us his son, Jesus. He gave us his son, Jesus. Jesus gave his life for us. He just gave his life. He's not asking us to jump up on a cross and let them put nails in our hands and nails in our feet and pull hair out of us and put a thorny crown on our head. And he didn't ask us to do that. But he wants us to know who he is. He wants us to be his sheep. He said, my sheep know my voice and they won't follow another one. How can I know your voice if I don't know you? I hear people talking all the time. I don't know them. I don't know their voices. I don't know them. God don't want to just be, oh, God, can you gimme, 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 gimme. He wants us to fall in love with him. Just love him. It's not hard to love God. Can we just love him? When we begin to love God, we will begin to say things different. We will be able to come together in unity. We will be able to be on one accord and of one mind speaking the same thing when we begin to love God. Those people in the book of Acts, that's why folks need to study the book of Acts. Those people in the book of Acts loved God. He said, go in the upper room and wait. That's just what they did. They waited until Jesus, just what Jesus said. Stay up there in the upper room until you get endued with power. And they stayed there. If God tell us today to go and kneel and stay at the altar until you get endued with power, we'd be like, why I gotta do all of that? I gotta go to work. I gotta take care of my family. I got to do Blog Talk Radio. I can't do that. And when he tells us something, he's telling us something for our own good. He's not telling us anything to hurt us. Jesus did the hardest thing ever. He went to the cross. And not nay one of us in the chat room have been to the cross. Ain't nay one of us been nailed. We ain't been persecuted like Jesus been persecuted. And we got the audacity to be arguing over this? But love, love, love. Love. And if we can't love one another, I'm sorry to say this. If we can't love one another, who we do see or who we do communicate with, how are we going to love God? How are we going to love him? How are we really going to love him? If we can't love one another, how? My sister said when you go to the altar, that means in a church. You don't have to go to an altar in a church, but that's where you find them in a lot of churches. They have altars. You could kneel by your bed. If Jesus tell you to stay kneeling by your bed until you get endued with power, would you do it? If he said, lay on your bed.
That's what I got to do.
Lay on your bed, prostrate until you get endued with power. Would you do it? It's not just to you. This is to all of us. If he say just lay there and just let's commune, let me talk to you because I love you. Just lay there and let me talk. I can't talk to you right now. I got to go somewhere. I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. I can't. No, I can't. No. Always got a reason why and an alibi why we can't spend time with God. Then we wonder why there is no power, why we don't really know him. When God say lay hands on somebody so that person can get healed, why we can't do it. First, we ain't hear him, and second, we don't have no power because we won't obey God. I don't know. Pastor Felicia?
Yes, ma'am.
Felicia, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I think we all just need to take a step back and just examine ourselves.
I said, I'll stick with that voice. I'm used to hearing your voice on here.
I know. She didn't press the one. She didn't press the one. I just put her on anyway because she didn't press the one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Amen.
Oh, my
goodness. Praise
this
God.
Person needs to log off.
And we just, but see, one thing, when you're dealing with distractions and the enemy, we have, when you have humbleness, you have to remain humble, because when you humble, then the enemy has to submit. You understand what I'm saying? So we can't fight the enemy using his stuff like hostility or, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, just pray for him. That's all I can say. You try to teach, you gave them the scriptures, you gave them the reference. You know, if you give somebody food and they don't eat, that's not on you, that's on them, amen? So, hey.
Yeah, you can lead a horse to water.
Amen. Mm-hmm. He'll be all right. Lord, they talking about the goats and the sheep earlier. That's what it's reminding me of, amen. So. Thank God.
Girl,
you have some goats.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments?
Well, I mean, going back to the topic, which is what you want to do, I just feel that we have to remember the passage of scripture that was read to our hearing tonight by you, St. Matthew chapter 25. Also, 1 John chapter 4, we need to remind ourselves always that he says if you say that you love God but hate your brother, you're a liar. That's what the apostle says. For how can you love God whom you've never seen and hate your brother who you have seen? I think we have to really understand this Christian walk. And tonight really proved a lot of things in many ways about where we fall short. I mean, we don't fall short in adultery. We know we should shy away from that, and we should stop doing that, and we should mortify the flesh from those things that are sinful, and so we should. But these are the things, these are the little foxes I always talk about. These are the things that hold us up from being all that God wants us to be. The sharing and caring and compassion and understanding and reaching out to others and really not, you know, really trying to get an understanding and not try to get a one-upsmanship attitude about anything. You know, I mean,
right.
I know this and I know that. We don't know much of anything. The book of the book of 1 Corinthians reminds us that we see through a glass darkly. We only know in part. All of us only know in part. God is not going to reveal every truth to us, because we can't handle every truth at any given time. And some truths we will never know until we meet him face to face, what why this is and why that is. But let's don't get stuck on things that have nothing to do with salvation. Whether Paul killed anybody, whether Moses killed anybody, whether David literally killed Uriah, or whether him sending him to the front was like him killing somebody. Let's get to the real heart of the matter. As I said in the Bible study on Tuesday night, I said it's the heart that counts. And is your heart right? Is your heart right? I'm not talking about what you do and you don't do. Is your heart right? In the book of Revelation, the church at Ephesus, Christ commended them for the great deeds they did by refusing to accept the Nicolaitans and their corrupt beliefs. for refusing to allow corruption into the church and keeping it pure and keeping it holy. But he said, but I got this against you, that you left your
yes.
first love. So
yes,
we got to be careful that we don't lose our first love, the enthusiasm, the joy, the excitement of serving God. When we first started, somewhere along the way, it begins to wean, and we begin to get cynical, and we begin to get very staunch and very parochial and very stiff-necked and, you know, and unyielding and unbending and all of this type of thing. And God said, where is the first love? Where is
right.
the first love? Now, we have to go to the book of Ephesians to find what the first love was. The book of Ephesians by Paul was written 30 years before Christ revealed to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos what he wrote in Revelation. The first love was this, that they had faith in God and they loved the brethren. That was their first love. Now, they maintained the faith in God by making sure that corruption didn't enter the church, that being very strict about who comes in, who teaches, and all that type of thing. They remained true to that, but somewhere along the way, they lost the ability to love each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get so righteously indignant that you lose the touch of compassion. You lose the touch of understanding in a sense of you may be in error, but you're still my brother. You may not be doing everything that God wants you to do, but you're still my brother. And everything that Christ, and even when in the Old Testament, New Testament too, everything that God did, even when he chastened his followers, when he chastened his people, he did it to reconcile them. He never did it to destroy them. He never did it to really throw them out of communion with himself. But every time, even he chastened them, when the prophets warned them about certain actions, in the end, it was always a reconciliation. In the end, he always wanted to bring his people back to him in right relationship. That's what the experience of Christ is all about. In the end, Christ, God always had his people in mind. He gave them he first gave them the patriarchs. Then he gave them the judges. Then he allowed them to have kings. Then he gave them the prophets. Then eventually he gave them his only begotten son, always having man in mind and the reconciliation of man. That's what our faith should do. We should reconcile everybody back to our relationship with God and ourselves. We need to get right with each other. Stop trying to, you know, prove that you know more and you're more enlightened than somebody else. Ain't nobody that enlightened. None of us are that right that we need to judge anybody else in that respect. So I mean, you know, I love what Christ himself said, and I think we need to remind ourselves that as we are shredding off those things like homosexuality and all the things that we mention from time to time and quite often, really, we need to also remember that you can also go to hell if you don't feed the sick, if you don't feed the hungry, if you don't visit the sick, if you don't go to prisons, if you don't do nothing for nobody and only want everything for yourself. See, that's the problem with the modern 21st century church. It's all about me kind of church. We've gotten to a place where it's all about me and not about us.
What about me? What about me?
You know, it's all about me, how I can get more, how I can be prosperous, how I can be this and how I can be that, how I can outrank you and outthink you and outposition you and out this and that and all this kind of thing. It's all about me. So the first century church didn't worry about me. It was always concerned first and foremost with God and pleasing him and helping one another. And we need to go back to that. We need to start reading the book of Acts all over again. And not just reading it, but meditate on the book of Acts and adopt some of the things. People talking about tradition. We need to go back all the way to the tradition, the actual first church. We need to really go back to tradition, not the tradition of a denomination, but go back to the first church, the church of the apostles, disciples. Go back to that church. Let's go way. We're talking about tradition. Let's go way back. Back to first century church. And let's see what they did that we can't do. They had power, so if they walked by you, you were healed. Didn't have to do no touching, didn't have to do no abracadabra, didn't have to do no spitting on you and all that kind of mess on you. You don't have to get no prayer line. If they walked by you, you were healed. Why can't we do that anymore? Most churches, there's no healing going on nowhere. There's no change of nothing. I'm not even talking about physical healing, because that's something that God has in control. But I'm talking about all kinds of healing. People aren't changing their attitudes. They're just as messed up today as they were 30 years ago when they first joined the church. What's wrong? It's because we're not walking in the light of God. We're not doing what God has commanded us to do. Mm-hmm. And the Lord makes it clear, if you aren't concerned about your brother, you ain't going to heaven. I don't care if you're a heterosexual to the extreme, if you're a monogamous to the extreme, if you don't look at no woman with no kind of lust to the extreme, you still ain't going to heaven if you don't get it right with your brother and your sister. You're still not going to heaven. That's what the book of St. Matthew says. He says there's going to be two sides, the goat side and the sheep side, the left side, the right side. The heaven side, the lake of fire side.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible says. They know what Scott says. Who's scared what Scott thinks?
Mm-hmm.
My opinion is no better than nobody else's opinion. If that's all it is, it's an opinion.
And that's why we don't need to go on opinion. We need to go on the Word of God.
Exactly.
I have examined the Word of God since you all have been talking, and I see that Paul persecuted the church. He was a persecutor of the church. He persecuted the church. He stood by and was encouraging Stephen stoning. He was there casting lots and all that craziness he was doing, taking their garments. And he would take people back. He would get letters and take people to ask permission to take people back bound up because they were Christians. They were believers. So he persecuted the church. Paul did a lot of things to people. He walked about and he was threatening people. But I have not found a scripture that said he actually murdered anyone. But he was there and he was encouraging it. Okay? I'm saying all that to say that I do not want to end this broadcast with anybody offended. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that means Patriot Gray, because he's still on the broadcast and I was not able to kick him out. Not saying that I couldn't have, I just was not led to kick him out of the chat room. And I have to say this, that I have not found a scripture that actually said Saul murdered anyone, but the scriptures say he persecuted the church and he breathed out threatenings and murder. He breathed out threatenings and murders is what the scripture says. He breathed out threatenings and murders, okay? So that's all I have to say about that. God bless you, talks about righteousness. Minister, Pastor Felicia, Jesus is
yes,
Lord.
Ma'am.
Husband, Jesus.
Yes, he is.
Sister, Jesus is Lord. Patriot Greg, Jesus is Lord. 4259, Jesus is Lord. Guest 2352, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Let us love God. If we don't know God, For real, if we don't really know Jesus and we just talk about Jesus, let's get to know him, please. Let's just get to know him. It's simple. It's not hard. We don't have to go to college and get a degree to know who Jesus is. All we got to do is ask him, who are you? Who are you? Somebody said in the chat room, who are you? And I knew you was asking who is talks about righteousness. You said, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we got to do to Jesus and say, who are you? I want to know who you are. I just want to know who you are. It's not deep. We don't have to just, you know what I'm saying? People make things so deep and it don't have to be that deep. Jesus, who are you? I hear what people mm-hmm. say about you, but I want to know who you are. Okay, now be careful when you ask him who he is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just be careful when you ask him who he is. All right? When you ask him who he is, okay, sometimes some things might come up when we ask him who he is, but it's for us so that we can know who he is. David knew who God was. If you go back through the Psalms and you read the Psalms, David knew who God was. He didn't have to guess. He knew who God was. David knew who God was. Was he always obedient? No. Did he always do the things that God told him to do when God told him to do it? No. God had to send a prophet to David and tell David some things? Yes. But he knew God. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He knew God. He knew what God could do for him. He knew who God was to him. He knew what God would do to the people that came against God. He saw all of that. And David wasn't even allowed to build the temple because he shed so much blood. But he heard God tell him that. You can't build. You can't even build the temple because you shed so much blood. But your son is going to build the temple. And David was like, okay. He didn't try to go above God and try to build the temple anyway. God told him not to, and he didn't.
That's right. Amen.
But he knew God. And when we know God, yes, we're still going to do things that are not right, but we're not going to live a habitual lifestyle of disobedience. Habitual disobedience. Habitual disobedience. If we are habitually disobedient, we really do not know God. And we definitely don't love him, because the Bible says this is the conclusion of the whole matter.
Amen.
The conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Obey God. Obey God. Keep his commandments. We can't even keep the love thing together.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I've been working downtown all this week, and there's people that sit on the ground, and you walk past the people, and every corner you go on, just about somebody's asking for money. I don't have money to give to everybody. But I told one man today, no, yesterday, I was like, no. Like, he's talking about, can you give me some money so I can get some coffee or something, he said. And I was tired, and I was just ready to go home. And I walked half the block past him. And I just felt this unction in my spirit to go back and get that man that money. It was a dollar. Just go back and give it to him. And all I could see in my head was what my mind tells me that Jesus looks like. All I could see was that, okay, I just walked past Jesus and told him no. I had to go back and give this man that money. Okay? We don't have money to give to everybody. But those that we have to give to, when the Holy Spirit allows us to give it to that person, just give it to them and keep it moving. You don't know what that's going to do to that person. You don't know if that very thing that you did is going to cause that person to come to Christ. Even if they use that money to drink, what's it to you? That very act of kindness could cause that person to come to Christ. And if it doesn't, you still did what you were supposed to do. But because we know who God is, we know what Jesus did on that cross for us. We know this. That's something we just read. I believe Jesus went to that cross and died for me. I don't know about y'all. I believe it. I believe that Jesus died on that cross for me.
Amen.
I believe it. I believe the story like it's told, that they put nails in his hand, that they put nails in his feet, they pierced him in his side, they put a crown of thorns on his head, they beat him before he even got to the cross. I believe that. I believe they spit on him. I believe they pulled his beard out of his face. I believe all of that. I believe they whipped him with a cat on nine tails. Yes, I believe that about my Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. Now I got to act like I believe it, because I got to live my life. I got to crucify my flesh.
Yes, amen.
Crucify my flesh so that I can live for him, so I can die to this flesh, die to the desires of my flesh that are unpleasing to God. Does it take all of that? Yes, it takes all of that. It takes all of that. Because look at what it took for Jesus to do to save our souls. Look what it took Jesus to do to save our souls, to bring us back into a right relationship with God the Father. God loved us so much, the book of John tells us, that he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to sacrifice nothing for him, but we say we know him. Uh-uh. A lot of people know of him, not who he really is. I know Felicia. I know of Felicia. I don't really know her yet, but I know of her. And what I know of her, I believe she's a godly woman. I believe she's a nice person. But that's just what I know of her. I don't know her yet.
Amen.
Not her human side. I don't know her yet. I have not met her yet. I know that when she comes in that chat room, she's faithful to monitor what's going on in the chat room. She'll get on the phone. If I put her on the spot, she's on the phone anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I know that about her. But what do I know about Jesus? I know what the Bible tells me, that he died on that cross for me.
Mm-hmm.
Set me free, because I was bound. I was bound by sin. I was walking around blinded because Satan had me blind. He had me blind. He had me blind. The God of this world had me blind to the things of God and didn't want me to be enlightened and don't want us to be enlightened, doesn't want us to get enlightened anymore. That's why he causes distractions and tiredness. And, you know, we do things that cause ourselves to be tired so we can't get into the word and don't really want to know who God is. Come on now. Knowing God is not just because you go to church. That don't make you know God and know Jesus because you went to church.
Amen.
A lot of people sitting in church and don't know who Jesus is. A lot of folks sitting in church, in the mega churches, and still don't know who Jesus is.
You got to work to do it.
The Bible said, not the Bible, but it was a song people used to sing, said, I know a man from Galilee who saved my soul. I know a man from Galilee who made me whole. See, but we take these things and make them cliches, and they're just songs. But come on now, Jesus is calling us to come to know who he is. We need to know him. We need to know him and the suffering that he did for us. We need to know him in the place that he took for us and appreciate what he did for us and walk in the newness of life. Folks not walking in the newness of life because they don't know the newness that, of life that Jesus gave to us when he went to Calvary and he died and he rose again on the third day. We don't know Jesus like that. Come on, come on, let's get to know Jesus. Yeah, people sitting in church and don't know who Jesus is. Sitting in church and don't know who Jesus is. Many people sitting in church and don't know who Jesus is. They go to church to hear the choir sing because they want to feel good. And then go right back out and do the same things they've been doing. Because if we really know who Jesus is, we wouldn't live a lifestyle of sin. Come on, people, can we understand this?
Amen.
We know who he is and the sacrifice that he had on Calvary. When we continue to be disobedient, rebellious, stiff-necked people, if we really know who he is.
Amen.
How can we say that we really know who he is and we still constantly, repetitively, just disobedient and just, I'm just not going to do what you say do. But we say we know Jesus. We say we love Jesus. Stop lying. Just stop lying right now. And just say, God, I've been lying all the time. I don't know you. I don't know Jesus. I don't know the Holy Spirit. I don't know none of y'all. Because I've been doing me. I've been doing just what I want to do. I've been living the vida loca. And it's been okay with me. But now, Now I want to submit to you. I want to submit to you. And it's not a bad thing to submit to you. It's not bad. Submission is not a bad word. Submission is not a bad word if you submit into God. Not submitting to the devil, not submitting to your flesh, but submitting to God. Come on, y'all. Come on. Yep, whether you go to heaven or not is up to God, and nobody's saying that is up to us. Okay, God knows. What I'm saying is that God knows in the end who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. He already knows. He already know, okay? But we need to be obedient and not be stiff-necked and rebellious, okay? That's what we need to do. We need to be obedient to God. We need to be obedient to God. Obedient to God. That's all. I don't understand. What's hard about that? To be obedient to God. Everybody really want to go to heaven. People want to go to heaven because they don't want to go to hell. Some people want to go to heaven, that's all. They just don't want to go to hell, but don't really love God.
That's how I got saved.
Oh, they talk about the lake of fire, and I don't want to go to the lake of fire. But, hey, do you know God?
Amen.
My husband said, do we serve God only to go to heaven and shut in hell? Some people, yes. But what God is calling us to examine ourselves. I'm not talking about you because I don't know you. And even if I did know you, it's not my place to judge you. I'm talking about us as a body of believers that we need to come up in our love towards God. We need to really love God. Because if we love somebody, we're not going to do something to hurt them. And when we are in rebellion and disobedience, we're hurting God. For real, if I love my husband, I'm not going to go commit adultery on him. I'm not going to go out there and steal from him. I'm not going to go out there and hurt him and beat him up and do all them things and vice versa. He's not going to do those things to me. If I really love you, and if he really loved me. But we treat God like he's some kind of fairy tale. He's just a story in a book. Until we meet him, then, oh, God, where you at? God, if you love me, why you let this happen to me? And God is probably saying, well, if y'all love me, why don't you obey me? Jesus said, how can you call me Lord and you don't even do what I tell you to do? How you going to call me Lord and you don't do what I say? Anyway, let me tell you something. Whew. I want to do God's work because God knew me when I was in my biological mom's womb. You understand? I beg to differ because there are days when I want the Lord to take me because of the suffering. And I know that's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And guess what? We do all the works we want to do. We can do all the works we want to do. If we're not doing it in love, what is it? It's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal.
Not in boy.
Now, how's that? We can do all the work we want to do. If it's not in love, sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Are we doing all these works because we want people to pat us on the back?
I'm not.
Not for me, you work of iniquity. I don't even know you. Bye. Boom. I'm just saying, don't gotta listen. Hey, Minister Desiree.
Yeah, she done popped in.
She done popped in.
Get on the phone.
Lord, if she would have been here at the beginning of this conversation. Woo, I don't know.
I know, right?
I don't know. But I think the next topic should be Pastor Felicia.
Mm-hmm.
Submission is not a bad word.
Oh, it's not. Amen.
That should be the next topic because people think that when you submit to God, that's a bad word. Like God's some kind of slave driver. Like he's standing over you with a whip and you just being mealy mouth. Oh no, God, don't get mad at me. I told you. No. Mm-mm. See, if you want a real relationship with somebody, you know they're not going to do nothing to hurt you. You know they're not going to stand over top of you and try to be a drill sergeant and this, that, and the third. They're going to look out for your best interest. And God's best interest is for us to go to heaven. God don't want us to go to hell, people. He don't want us to go to hell.
We really don't.
Can I say that? If he wanted us to go to hell, why would he have sent Jesus? Why would he have sent Jesus if he really wanted us to go to hell? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be a waste of time? Wouldn't that be just a sacrifice for nothing? If he really wanted us to go to hell? He don't want us to go to hell. He wants us to reign forever with him. That's right, Desiree. Satan wants you to go to hell. You know why? Because that's where he's going. And he knows he can never have his place. He can never have the place that he had when he was Lucifer. He can never have that place again. And he hates us because he knows that we have the potential to go to a place where he can never go and stay. Now, he'll go up there and stand before God to accuse the brethren before God. Yeah, he'll do that. But he can never stay in heaven. He can never reign in heaven. He never again. See, but we got the opportunity to go. He don't want us to go. He don't want us to go. He want us to just do whatever, stay as far away from God as we can, continue to hate one another, continue to disobey God, to continue to be rebellious, so that when you close your eyes, and your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, your final destination is what? Oops. The lake of fire. Because if you in hell, the next step is the lake of fire. Ain't no bargaining out of hell. Ain't no bargaining out of hell. If you in hell, might as well forget it. Can't nobody pray you out of hell. Can't nobody rosary you out of hell. Can't nobody do none of that. Buy you out of hell, none of that. If you in hell, you know what the next step is. Let's just fall in love with God. Let's just fall in love with Jesus. Let's just fall in love with each other. Can we do that? Can we do that? It's 7 o'clock, so it's over. I don't know what y'all talking about right now, but it's over. It's over. Okay, Patriot Greg, I think you need your own show, boo-boo. You need your show. We're going to come to your show and talk to you on your show. I think you have a show. I think you have a broadcast. I'm coming to your broadcast.
Yeah, you got a show.
Don't kick me off either, but I'm coming to your broadcast.
And I think your show is staff. I'm not mistaken.
Let's pray for one another. Let's love one another and keep it moving, please. Please, can we just love God? If we love God, we don't have to worry about all this debating and stuff, okay? Let's love God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Somebody says, study for yourself. Can we study for ourselves to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed? Rightly dividing the word of truth.
What?
Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. God bless you for tuning in tonight, everyone. Everyone. I'm going to just turn this song on, and we're going to close out. God bless you. We love you. Peace.
about something.